Is everything ready for tonight?
Oh, yeah, I thought we'd start off with soup and a light salad, and then see how we feel after that.
Not the dinner. The, you know.
Oh, right. The poison for Cusco, the poison chosen specially to kill Cusco, Cusco's poison. That poison?
Yes, that poison.
Hi, I'm Joe.
And I'm Tiana.
And this is Next Door Villain,
a podcast where we uncover the villains to discover their humanity. Squeaky, squeaky McSqueakin. Squeak, squeaky squeakin. Squeakin.
Sorry, I don't speak squirrel.
I just said, hello everyone. Welcome back to Next Door Villain.
Did you learn that at Kronk's school?
Yes.
For Squirrel Academy? I don't remember what he calls it.
I don't either, but I learned it from the movie, just how everyone should.
Yeah, of course, the movie we're talking about is The Emperor's New Groove.
Yes.
And the character we're talking about is Kronk, a very popular standout character from this film, who was the sidekick to the main villain, Yzma, who was assistant to the Emperor.
Mm-hmm. And Yzma was probably like the main villain. So the reason why we're talking about Kronk instead of Yzma is because we're starting a mini-series.
Yeah, so this is the first episode in the mini-series. They're going to be shorter episodes, around 15-ish minutes or so. We'll see how long we talk. but we're focusing on sidekicks, smaller characters that made a big impression. And how it's going to work basically is every other week we'll release an episode. We'll do a brief introduction of the character, kind of come up with one sort of theme that this character represents. And then we'll end each episode with a question based on, you know, something that we learned about said character.
And we're doing this because I think hench people or hench beings are very fascinating, because you want to figure out why they're working for the main villain, why they're not the main villain, what is their motivation, and a lot of their backstory and who they are is not always shown. So we want to explore them because they deserve it.
Yeah, they're kind of unique in the villain space in that they often don't seem to share the primary motivation of the villain. They're often motivated by something secondary, whether that be like a need to please or a need to fit in. They're often there because the villain offers them something that they don't otherwise get. And so I think they're kind of unique in that sense.
And they're oftentimes way more entertaining.
Yeah, a lot of, Disney especially, but in, you know, various media, they are kind of used as the comic relief or a way to kind of temper the villain a little bit. And I think that's definitely true in this case, because Kronk was fun and he just seemed like a nice dude, even when he was doing terrible things, he seemed like a great guy, which is why kind of our theme for this episode is blissful, hardworking ignorance.
And spinach cream puffs.
Spinach cream puffs, yeah. We should do a little, just like a little backstory for those who haven't seen Emperor's Groove since it came out December of 2000.
Wow, when I was in second grade.
20 years ago.
Wow. Kronk is, of course, the hench man to Yzma. To me, he is a really happy-go-lucky and optimistic dude. He works extremely hard and does a fantastic job. The fact that he jogged with Yzma on his back for like several miles throughout the land is amazing. I don't know. We don't really have much of his backstory.
Yeah, so he works with Yzma. She's a very old, very, very old lady, and he is a young man. It's alluded to that he's probably in his 20s. It's unclear why they're working together, but he is, yeah, very happy-go-lucky. So my guess would be that she has somehow kind of tricked him into thinking that she can give him something that he can't get elsewhere. Because he doesn't seem like he is an evil dude. He seems like he's just trying to make her happy. I think of him kind of like a dog. Mm-hmm. Like a happy dog that just wants to please the person he's working for. And then he's also like easily distracted by other things. So when Yzma is trying to poison the emperor. He's like, obviously, he's like trying to do his best at poisoning, but then his spinach cream puffs are burning in the oven, so he gets distracted and runs and takes care of those. But as soon as he gets back, Yzma reminds him about the poison. He's like, oh yeah, gotta get the poison. So he seems like he's there to please and make people happy. And unfortunately, the person that he's latched onto is Yzma for some reason.
Yeah, I think he's almost optimistic to a fault, where he kind of sees the good in everything. So like, oh, I'm working for Yzma, but this is fun. And we're going to go on an adventure and we're going to chase this llama dude. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I was thinking too is maybe he just wanted some experience in the palace. I don't know what other jobs were available. And so it's either you're working for a selfish brat emperor who just thinks of himself and is super ridiculous and throws people out of windows when they throw off his groove. Or you could work with Yzma, who, although is kind of angry sometimes, still might actually seem like a better choice than Cusco. I would want to work for Yzma rather than Cusco, for sure.
Yeah, what we forget when we watch the film is that we don't really know what Yzma's backstory is either. So we see her after she gets fired. She gets fired right in the beginning of the film. Then she makes this plan to take out the emperor.
Mm-hmm.
But she may not have done anything bad prior to that. She was the emperor's assistant. That was her job. And she probably hired Gronk because she wanted an attractive young man around who could carry her around. But the point is, it does seem like he very well may have just gotten in over his head in a situation that wasn't that bad to begin with. She wasn't trying to murder the emperor and take over the kingdom when he was hired. And I don't know. She also seems kind of fun. Like, there are these glimpses throughout the film of these moments where they kind of like joke around together. When they go into the secret lair, it's like a roller coaster ride to get there. And they both just seem to be having a hoot on that roller coaster together. So it seems like there is some kind of connection between them that they seem to enjoy. And it falls apart when Yzma starts doing bad things and Kronk starts feeling like there's something wrong and he doesn't want to be involved with it.
Right. Like when his angels show up and all that. Another thing too is, so at work recently, we've been talking a lot about our strengths. Like, have you ever taken like the Strengths Finder test?
Yeah. Yeah, I've done that.
I did that a long time ago. I'm about to take it again. And we're reading some of the book and the book says people are unhappy when they cannot use their strengths in their work.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like this is the perfect job for him, almost, except for the part where Yzma does bad things. I feel like his strengths are hard work, dedication, and strength, just like physical and mental strength. And he is able to like dedicate himself to another person, be very loyal, do so much hard work, and showcase what he's capable of. And so obviously, like, this is the perfect job for him. So I feel like I wouldn't blame him for working in the palace, because they really need loyal and strong people. There's also another part in the movie where, like, Yzma and Kronk are, like, kind of on the trail together. And Yzma says something like, the people don't even miss Cusco. And he's like, that's a fair point. So I feel like both Yzma and Kronk, you know, they definitely had some quote-unquote good reason to maybe make sure Cusco is not the emperor, because he was a pretty bad dude.
Yeah, he wasn't a great emperor. And you could almost argue that they were doing a positive thing by taking out the emperor.
Right.
Of course, the counterpoint to that is our first introduction to Yzma is she's hearing a complaint of one of the peasants. And she's like, what do you need again? And he's like, food. And she's like, well, you should have thought of that before you became a peasant.
So she also wouldn't be that great either. Maybe a little bit better. Who knows?
Yeah, it's a tiny step up. It's hard to say.
Man, it's hard to find a good emperor. What a shame.
Yeah, apparently. And Kronk, I think Kronk, he's lovable, but a lot of people think of him as kind of stupid.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe he is kind of stupid sometimes. But as I was watching the film and thinking about it, and then also I watched Kronk's New Groove, which is the direct-to-VHS sequel to Emperor's New Groove. And I think Kronk is actually really smart. In Kronk's New Groove, he's a head chef. He teaches people how to speak squirrel. He like coaches a youth group. He's really successful at a lot of things, but I think that he struggles at seeing the big picture. Mm-hmm. Like he's really good at the details and like being involved and taking care of things in the moment, but he has a hard time taking a step back and seeing what's going on overall, which I think is why he's so susceptible to Yzma, because he struggles to see that she is doing this big takeover of the kingdom and that she has these bad motivations because he's so engaged in the individual moments. I kind of respect that because I think I tend to be a big picture person too often and I don't engage well in individual moments. And so I admire that a little bit in him. He does seem very smart when it comes to specifics. There's even like when Yzma is laying out her plan, he points out all these problems with it, which are like super legitimate concerns, and she just brushes them off.
Mm-hmm. So you're like Yzma.
Well,
I'm just kidding. Maybe not.
Yeah,
because she sees the big picture too much.
Yeah.
And then I guess there are some people out there who are a lot like Kronk, who really look at the specifics, really look at all the tiny details and what's going on in every single moment. So I guess, again, balance is important.
Yes. Kronk is really easy to empathize with. Mm-hmm. He's just so likable. I think everyone loves him. But really, when it comes down to it, he doesn't follow through with the most villainous things. He is sent to take Kuzco's body and basically murder him, make sure that he's dead. And that's the first time we see him struggle with doing bad. He's like, I can't do this. And he basically just kind of lets Kuzco get away. And then at the end of the film, when he's forced with killing Kuzco, he ultimately just decides like, this is not right. And he takes down Yzma because he sees that that's wrong. He has a good moral compass. He gets distracted a lot by other people and trying to please people.
Yeah, he is kind of a people pleaser. Even when his shoulder angels appeared, he had to take a very long time, like a ridiculous amount of time, I think, to figure out which one he should please.
Yeah.
It's like, no, Kronk, like you can make the decision. It's okay. He eventually, you know, takes the advice of the good angel, but...
Well, that's why the theme here is blissful, hardworking ignorance, because sometimes you can spend so much time and energy trying to make other people happy and do things for other people that you don't step back and realize that the things that you're doing aren't actually great. It's great to help other people, but you have to keep in mind what your values are yourself, and sometimes pleasing someone else, making someone else happy, even though it's a nice thing to do, is a bad thing to do.
Right. It is understandable, though, where it does happen to a lot of people where they're doing something and they think it's a good thing and then they don't realize till later how not good it is or how they shouldn't continue with something. So Kronk is relatable in that sense.
Yeah. So to end the episode, I'd like to know, is there ever a time when you've gotten yourself into a situation that wasn't great and then realized a little later or maybe even too late that it wasn't good, that it was a bad idea?
Oh, yeah. I have an example of a time in my life that really ticked off my parents.
Nice.
I was in high school and we lived out in the country, kind of outside of town. And it was really bad snow outside. I grew up in South Dakota and it was really bad weather. But I begged and begged and begged my parents to go to a party, just like a friend get together. And I was in high school and I really, 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 really wanted to be a part of this friend group and go to this party and make it to this house. I was also in the country, but maybe like still a 15-minute drive away. But of course, in the snow, that was going to be really bad. I was crying. I was begging. Wow. If I were my parents, I would have just, I don't know, locked me in my room. I don't know. Because how they agreed to do this is beyond me. I must have been really desperate. I was so desperate. Just when you're in high school, you want to make friends. You want to look like you're great and fun and that you're not going to miss out. I had FOMO to the max. To the max. Okay. To the point where I saw there was a blizzard outside. I decided to drive in it.
Oh, boy.
I slid off the road. I got stuck in the ditch. And I was like, how old was I? Was I 16? I don't know. But basically, my dad picked me up very much a I told you so kind of thing. I held my head down and went back home. And then the next day, we had to get it out of the snow. And I did not make it to that party.
Yeah, I would have been, I'm on team your parents on this one.
So, yeah, I guess that was a testament to how high my FOMO was. But I realized this was a good idea. We had a truck. What's the big deal? It's South Dakota. Wah,
wah. Blissful ignorance.
Yes. Blissful young ignorance. Yeah. How about you?
For me, I think I don't know. I tend to get excited about things, mm-hmm. whether it be a project or a new relationship. And I think when I get excited about something, I become a bit clouded to other things that may not be positive. So for example, like with a person, a new relationship that I'm in, I think I get so excited and so engaged in it that I ignore any kind of negative signs, or I convince myself that those things aren't actually negatives. I find a way to convince myself that they're positives. And so I'm thinking about one relationship that I was in particular that started when I was in kind of a rough time where I didn't have a lot of friends. And I think I knew that it wasn't a good idea for me to dive into a relationship when I should be working on making new friends. I mean, I'm in a new area where I don't know a lot of people and I don't know this person very well. And so I kind of dived into a relationship that had a lot of warning signs that I completely ignored. And then all of a sudden I was in over my head and like too far in where it was like difficult to get out of in a way that was like clean and easy. When if I had just in the beginning seen those negative signs and took them for what they were, that it would have just been less messy.
Yeah. But I also don't want you to beat yourself up too much, because I think almost every person on this planet has done that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I definitely think that that's true. I think it's kind of human nature to find something that we like or get excited about something and to convince ourselves that it's the right thing because we like it.
And ignore the red flags because our hormones are just going, the entire time.
Yeah. And if we didn't do that, then life would be a lot less enjoyable.
That's true.
Right? Because even though like it gets us into some bad situations, being overly cautious keeps us out of a lot of good situations. Balance. It's all about balance.
Balance.
Yeah.
That's what Kronk can teach us. Oh, love him though.
Yeah. He's so great.
Nice. I'm gonna cry. He's so nice. Yeah.
Kronk's New Groove is on Disney+. I would recommend it. I watched it this morning. It's a lot of fun. If you want more Kronk, it's a whole movie of him.
Aww. Does it have subtitles for the squirrels and the squeaking?
I don't remember. Even though I watched it 2 hours ago.
That's okay.
So but there, yeah, there were squirrels. They did. They were a part of it, but not a huge part though.
Okay. Sorry. I'm kidding.
All right. Emotional. Yeah, we got to wrap this up.
Okay. Adios.
Yeah, thanks for listening.